Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
The message I want to preach this morning is, and I want to answer the question from the Bible, why do bad things happen to good people? There's a twofold answer to that question, and it's going to take two messages. This morning I'm preaching one point, next Sunday morning I'm going to preach the other point. There's a twofold reason on why bad things happen to good people. The number one reason is, and I'm just putting them in this order myself, number one, the devil hates you. That's number one. Number two is, God loves you. I'm going to explain that in some detail from the scripture, both this morning and next Sunday morning, because bad things do happen to good people. Job was that guy. Job is that guy in the church that everybody loves. Job is that guy, he had 10 kids. Job is that guy that comes to the church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and his van is full of his kids. Job is that guy that sings in the choir. Job is that guy, he is faithful to prayer meeting. He understands it's a little bit of giving as well as taking. As a matter of fact, Job would sacrifice anything for the work of God. Job is that guy. He's the big giver. He's got the big heart. And everybody thinks nothing goes wrong in his family. He has the joy of the Lord. As a matter of fact, he is a man of God. Job is that guy that everybody loves. But 1 year out of Job's life, the bottom falls out. 1 year, the worst year of Job's life ends up being the best year of Job's life. You know why everything goes wrong? Why do bad things happen to good people? It's because the devil hates you and God loves you. This morning, I emphasize the devil hates you. Let me give you a little bit of background here before we get into this first chapter of the book of Job. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Some believe it is 5,000 years old. This man, Job, literally lived. He lived after the flood, and he lived before Abraham. And some of you are Bible students, and you're starting to figure this out. God's not a racist. For 2,000 years, all there were Gentiles. There were no Jews. All there were Gentiles. And then Abraham was born, and he loved God. And Abraham, by the way, here's some food for thought. Abraham was a Gentile. He was a Gentile. He was just a man who loved God. He was that guy. He was that guy that loved God with all of his heart. And everything, God blessed Abraham. Job ends up being a rich man. Abraham was a rich man. Riches aren't a sign of blessing, not physical riches, because God wants some of us poor because he knows we can't handle riches. And all that's fine. That's the economy that God understands. That's all part of God's plan. But so Abraham loves God. God makes promises to Abraham. His offspring, his seed, end up being the 12 tribes of Israel. So there's 2,000 years of Gentiles. And then there's 2,000 years where it was Abraham's children, the Jews, the Israelites, the Hebrews, and God entrusts to Abraham, God entrusts to them the oracles of God, the word of God, and through Abraham, through their lineage, that's who the Savior is going to come, and great promises are made, and then there's Calvary, Israel is no more, and then there's the time of the Gentiles. That's the 2,000 years that we are living in. All that's left is the 1,000-year millennial kingdom, right? So there's 2,000 years of Gentiles, 2,000 years of Jews, and then Jews and Gentiles, but Jews with God, and then there's 2,000 years of Jews and Gentiles in the church of Jesus Christ. We're one in Christ. We don't replace Israel. God's made promises to them, but that's the 2,000 years that we're living in right now, and we're right at the end of that age, all right? So Job is a Gentile. He is before Abraham. Job is his own family's priest. This was the time of the patriarchs. This is how God willed it. 350 years after, it was after the flood, and likely just after the Tower of Babel in that time frame, right? And you could entitle this book The Trials of Job. You think bad things don't happen to good guys? Let's read here in Job and chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Here's Job. Here's our example. Here's a man that's trying to do everything right. It says here that he was perfect. Now that means complete. You will be complete too when you're in Christ. you will be whole and all your ducks will be in a row and you'll understand, okay, this is how I'm supposed to. You see, we can't do that. Job was living how we are supposed to live. It isn't that things didn't go wrong, the book of Job, right? And so things were going wrong all the time in his life, but it was like water off the duck's back. His eyes were on God. He worshiped Jehovah God. He worshiped with all of his heart and all of his family, and God always came first. And God blessed him. He hates evil. There's a lot of great qualities in Job. Job's a family man. Job's a man who prays. Job's a man who gives and gives supremely. And God is first in his life. Let me read it again. Job, and that man was perfect or mature or complete and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. We better hate evil, by the way. Don't fall in love with the world. Don't start playing footsie with evil. Don't go there. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. So he had 10 children. And his substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke, so that's 2 times 2, of oxen, and 500 she-asses. Now that's 11,000 or 11,500. I don't know if they were yoke of she-asses or not, but he had a mighty big herd and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. So throughout that entire region of the world, Job was looked up to as number one. Here's the beauty of it. He was a God-fearing man. He loved the Lord. His family was important to him. He was a giving man. He hated evil. He's the right kind of man that God raised up for leadership. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. Now, it would be a carnal mind. I'll just tell you this. That doesn't mean they drank alcoholic beverages. You are reading into the scripture. If you think that's what that is not what that is saying there, all right? So they were having birthday parties or what have you, and it was a time of celebration. Again, Job has a tremendous heritage. He's wealthy, and everything is going good. Everything. But Job's bad day and bad year is about to start. Now, don't go through life, let me give you some counsel, as the under-shepherd. I'm preaching to myself. Don't go through life waiting for bad things to happen. That is the wrong premise. That is the wrong frame of mind. I would refer to you as a scaredy cat. I would refer to you as someone who's looking for the boogeyman behind every bush and around every corner. We are more than victors. Mega conquerors, Paul said in the book of Romans, in the letter to those Christians. We are more than conquerors through Christ who strengtheneth us. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. It's wrong to look at the dark side. It is wrong to think that the worst is going to happen. It's like the preacher or the woman that came up to the preacher and said, "Pastor, everything's going right, but I'm afraid." What are you afraid of? I'm afraid. Everything's going right. I'm just waiting. Something is going to go wrong. You know, and that's just wrong. Hey, hold your hand here. Go to Romans in chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8. I want to read 2 verses. One you're familiar with. Romans and chapter 8 and verse 18. Concerning the bad things that are going to happen. And they will. Paul said, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Keep everything in perspective. This earth, this pilgrimage that we're living, is a little blop. It's just a little blip on the timeline of life. That's all it is. All right. So, and the glory, the sufferings that we experience now are not even cannot even hold a candle to the glory which shall be hereafter. By the way, verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose." So don't be that scaredy cat Christian. I know that doesn't sound real impressive to use that terminology, and it doesn't sound real educated, but that describes it. There are a lot of people that just kind of cower in the dark. They're just afraid of everything. Afraid of everything. Don't be that way as a child of God. If I've quoted this passage out of Timothy once, I've quoted it probably 6 times through this coronavirus thing. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. That's from the evil one. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, disciplined emotions. You know the score. You know what it's about. Go back to the book of Job. Everything's going right in Job's life. Job is such a man of God. He offers sacrifices and gives prayers on behalf of his children just in case they're doing something wrong that he does not know about. He is praying for them. And it'd be good for you to be a priest for your family as well and pray for your children and pray for your grandchildren instead of just letting them bounce off the walls through life. Man, it'd be good to pray a hedge about them. It says here in verse 5, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. So he was a praying man all of the time. Now, it's Job's bad day. You wouldn't wish this kind of day on your worst enemy. He loses everything in one blow. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. The Lord is mentioned 24 times in the book of Job. It's Jehovah. It says the sons of God, those are the angels, fallen angels, holy angels. They're summoned. That's what the word presented means. They're summoned to the throne of God. And Satan came also among them. The word Satan means adversary. Our ancient enemy, that fallen angel of God, that fallen mighty angel of God, who was raised up with pride and ambition, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, read the New Testament, read the Old Testament. Satan is not your friend. He is your adversary. It says, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. If you would write down this reference, we don't have time to look at it. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10 says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Let's turn there together. We've got time for that. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, that's Satan, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan, where have you been? Walking up to and fro amongst the earth. You know what he was doing? Hunting. He was on the prowl. He's looking. There is a spiritual battle going on, and that's what the book of Job reveals to us that you and I aren't privy to. There are battles for the souls of men, women, and children going on in every direction. And you and I aren't aware of what's going on. There's a battle going for your family, going on right now for your family. And if I read my Bible right, you have a guardian angel. And you have an angel that is assigned to you, to your children. And he's watching over you. But the powers of darkness are trying to overrun your family. If you open the door, man, they'll come in, because he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may, not strengthen, not bless, devour. He's on the hunt. Be sober. Be vigilant. You say, preacher, do you really believe that? Yes. That's what the book of Job says. We're being made privy to a conversation. Job didn't even know this was going on in the heavenlies. So Satan reports to God. He's summoned to God. He reports to God. He says, I've been walking to and fro on the earth. I've been on the hunt, walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? He said, I've got the man. I've got one guy. He's the man. I've got one guy. Have you seen Job? Job's on fire. Job loves me. Job serves me with his heart. Job serves me with everything. All of the wealth that I've given to him and I've blessed him. You know, he just keeps funneling it back into the work of God. He's a great man. And God's kind of, in a fatherly way, proud of Job. It says in verse, and he hates evil. Verse 9, then Satan answered the Lord and said, that Job fear God for naught? For thou hast made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side. And thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. So we read of Job's heritage, and everything's going good. Then the angels, the sons of God, are summoned to the throne. And Satan is there as well. And he gives an accounting to God. And God asks him where he is. He says, I've been hunting. I've been going to and fro. I've been on the prowl like a mighty roaring lion. And I'm seeking the souls of men. Have you seen Job, Satan? Have you seen how he serves me with all of his heart? Have you seen how his family is serving me? You seen the impact he's making in the land of Uz? Do you understand all that is going on there? And Job, and Satan says to God, he's only serving you because you put a hedge about him. Let me say something about the hedge. Thank God for the hedge. Were it not for the hedge, the Bible tells us Satan seeks to sift us out like wheat. Were it not for God's protection about the family of God, about the church, God has protected and put a hedge. And every year he does it around Canaan land. Man, what a great week we had. 9 precious boys and girls came to Christ. Even though we were at half capacity, that's all we were allowed to have. 9 souls came to Christ. We did everything right. We got 2 nurses on duty, took temperature checks all the time. We did everything right. God blessed us. And oh, what a wonderful, wonderful. God has blessed Fundamental Baptist Church. He's put a hedge about this place again and again. He's held at bay the attacks of the evil one. Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 91, 91st Psalm. Again, man, don't you be a scaredy cat Christian. That's not where you're supposed to be. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Verse 11 says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. What a God we have. He's put a hedge about your family and my family. If you're striving to serve God, now if you step out underneath of God's hedge of protection, you wander outside the fold, man, you're on your own in that big bad world. That's the wrong place to live. And by the way, your children are following you. It's better to stay in that hedge, be in the center of God's will for your life, and allow God to put that hedge about you. That's what he did for Job. And the devil, he's got a smart mouth. Let's go back to Job in chapter 1 again. He said, he's blessing you and he's serving you because you've blessed him. The only reason he loves you, God, is because of the riches you've bestowed upon him. And the wealth, and the family, and the good health. That's the only reason. You've increased his land and his substance. Verse 11 says, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. God gave permission to the devil to take away the blessings, the external blessings of Job's life, but you cannot have Job. And this is a test. And again, Job doesn't know this conversation ever took place. This is unbeknownst to him. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job. Job had no idea of the big picture. And said, the oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them, and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Now, this is the first blow of a combination that would have made Rocky Marciano jealous. There are 4 blows in a row. What? No time to breathe. Verse 16. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven. By the way, God got the blame for what the devil did. You know why there's so much evil in the world? It's because man refuses to obey God. There's so much evil and destruction in the world today because of the devil, not because of God. Don't blame man's sin on the plan that God has for this world. That doesn't fit. And when he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans have made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. 4 direct body blows in a row. Then Job arose. Now, let's not read this too quick. So he loses all the oxen. He loses all the she-asses. He loses all the camels. He loses all the livestock. It's all gone. All of a sudden, he's poor. All of his servants, they're gone. The great household, it's gone. And the final blow, he's told, your sons, your daughters, they're dead. Why do bad things happen to good people? Job is crushed. His breath is taken away. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. He worshiped. And the devil screamed. And God was pleased. Next verse. and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job blessed God. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I think the devil learned a lesson that day. Not everybody's wrapped up in things. Not everybody's wrapped up in the temporary. That's what Job was, that mature man. Job was that guy that everybody looked up to. But in a day, the bottom fell out. And it was the beginning of the worst year of his life. God's hedge was around Job. And then when God lifted it, the devil took over. Let's read on into verse 1 of chapter 2. We see Job's heart here in the end of chapter 1. And it's real. Again, thank God for the hedge. God has kept me from so much, protected me in ways that I don't even realize. And I'm like that Pollyanna kind of person, just kind of skipping through life, la-di-da-di-da, everything's fine, God is blessing. And I don't even see the things that are going on, arms reach away from me spiritually. The battle that has taken place and how God is sparing me of that. And I give him the glory for that. I thank God. I thank God for you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you've done for me. God is good to this sinner man. This church is the same way. God has blessed us and put a hedge about us again and again. When the devil would divide us, he kind of pulls us in. He's our shield, the psalmist said. Man, he's our tower of strength. He's our fortress. He's our rock. He's that one that we depend on. And he watches over us. What a great God we serve. Great God. Job's heart is revealed here in verses 20 and 21 and 22. And let's read on now to chapter 2. And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present, because they're summoned, present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. I wonder how Satan feels about giving a report to God. The accuser of the brethren. I think sometimes he shows up, I got something to say. But time and again, he has egg in his face. How is it with when he talks about you? Now, Satan is not omnipresent. He's not deity. He's not God. He's not really in control. This really isn't his world, although it seems like and it appears to be his domain in which we are living right now. But you understand, one day he's going to stand before God and he's going to be cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And then he's going to be resurrected for a short time. And then that's the lake. And he's going to be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. His eternity is doomed. It's really all over for him, but he's fighting as hard as he can. Our ancient foe for your family and for my family, for my extended family, for the Church of Jesus Christ. He's fighting. He's trying to gain ground every and any way he can. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. I've been prowling around. I've been on the hunt. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? I'm sure this is just kind of grinding the devil the wrong way. A perfect and upright man, and one that feareth God, and escheweth evil, he hates evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Even though everything that happened, see, what happened in Job's life was not a result of his sin. These were things that came to him because the devil hated him, and because God loves him. And Job ends up being strengthened through this. And Job ends up being doubly blessed as a result of this because he kept his eyes on God. And verse 4 says, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. The devil has a smart mouth and a sharp tongue and sass. That's where it all originates. Skin for skin. All that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. Take away his health. May he suffer. May he go to bed in pain and wake up in pain. May his head ache. May his eyes feel like they're bulging out of his head. May he be filled with sores and have to take a potsherd, a piece of clay, and just kind of scrape the ooze. May he become miserable. He'll curse you to your face, God. The devil didn't understand how deep Job's love was for God. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. I'm preaching overtime just a little bit. Give me 5 more minutes. How would it be in your life today if God took away all your blessings? I told you last week, we're overblessed. We are. We're soft. We got too much. We got more than we can, I mean, we're overblessed as a people of God. You compare us with any other people group in the world. We're overblessed. We got more. We got too much is what we have. And some of us, those things have overcome us, and we're more faithful to them than we are to our God. We're the opposite of Job. How would it be in your life if the blessings stopped today? If God took away all of the past blessings, they're gone. And all you've got left is yourself and your God. And you sit in a heap of misery in the heat of the day, in the cold of the night. Verse 9 says, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. His wife says, Job, just give up. It's all gone. Just die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. And then Job's three friends show up with friends like these. Who needs enemies? Chapter 2 through chapter 31, his friends wax eloquent on what's wrong in Job's life, not knowing what's taking place in the heavens. Go to the last chapter of the book of Job. I got to make this fast. Job chapter 42. What matters most in the valley and in the storm and in the deep water is that you have a tower of strength, that you know God personally, that you personally know him as your Savior and know him as your good shepherd. Job worshiped God even when he did not understand what was going on. It made no sense to him. None. But he knew that God was good. And he came into the world naked, and if it's God's will he leave naked, so be it. His family's dead. Only one left alive is his wife. She's forsaken him and turned her back on him. And he said, listen, I owe God my everything. He honors God all the way. I can't preach all of it. I wish I could. Look at verse 12. And the Lord blessed the latter end of Job. He lived to be about 200 years of age. The Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than in his beginning. It did get better. For he had 14,000 sheep, doubled, 6,000 camels, doubled, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, doubled, and 1,000 she-asses, doubled. And he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. They didn't double. That's the same number we started out with. And just simply put, I can't preach this right now, I don't have time, but he never lost his children. His children went to heaven. You understand, when he got to heaven, he had twice as many children. But on this earth, he didn't need twice as many on this earth. God just kind of gave him the same number over again because people are eternal. And people that are born again are going to live forever in heaven. We are going to live, we're going to get to heaven, and it's going to be a forever place. And we'll live with our forever God. And it's going to be a wonderful reunion. It's going to be a wonderful place. Job's thinking, man, things are getting good again. And God is blessing again. Verse 13. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Verse 14, he names these daughters. And they're beautiful daughters. And every dad knows what it is. They have a beautiful daughter. There's nobody like your daughters. You know, as men, we want to have sons. But then when you get a daughter, it's like, wow, this is pretty cool. And you love your daughters. And it says in verse 15, and in all the land, there were no women found as fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. And after this lived Job 140 years. And he saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of years. Okay, I got a full of days. I want to wrap this up by saying this. Bad things happen to good people. The devil is not our friend. The devil hates us. That's one reason. Reason number 2, next Sunday morning, God loves us. There's a purpose to that. God even used these bad things for good. God loves us. But along the way, do not forget, the devil is not your friend. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And they're all expecting me. Man, there's going to be a reunion in heaven. Don't get caught up in the loves and the treasures of this world. Say, why are things going wrong? Understand there is a spiritual battle, the unseen battle, that we just kind of get evidences of from time to time. Job was a man greatly blessed of God who had it all together. He had core values. It wasn't a sham. He loved Jehovah. And he was able to prove it. How much do you love God? You say, well, he's blessing me a lot. I sure do owe him a lot. I love him. How much do you love him? What if the blessing stopped? What about reaching this world for Christ, which is the nearest thing to the heart of God? Nothing as close as that. Evangelism, your neighbor, your coworker. It's not supposed to be we four and no more. It's not supposed to be just a few people get saved, the rest go to hell. That's not what God intends. That's why you and I are still here. But there's a battle every step of the way.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.